This podcast is going to be about osteoarthritis, which is a pretty common disease. You're certainly going to see this quite a bit. You actually may see quite a lot of joint pain being attributed to arthritis, and I think sometimes that certainly may be the case when you have hallmark diagnostic findings, and other times I think often physicians chalk things up as arthritis when you are using your best clinical suspicion, although you may not have great objective findings for it. But basically, osteoarthritis is a degenerative disease of synovial joints. You have this progressive loss, although it may not be a steady progression, but you have some progressive loss of articular cartilage. Okay, and what patients complain of are pain, sometimes joint instability, oftentimes joint deformity, sometimes such as in the knee, you may have like a varus or valgus deformity. And then these are the patients that you often see when you're on rotation, getting knee replacements for, right, and hip replacements. So, you know, those are weight-bearing joints that can develop osteoarthritis. And if they become end stage, can end up requiring a total joint arthroplasty, which is joint replacements. So osteoarthritis, and you probably learned this in your second year, osteoarthritis differs from inflammatory arthritis diseases, such as rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, in that the inflammatory component is much less, and as you would expect, although in reality, there still is inflammation, and patients with osteoarthritis can get inflammation, but it's not primarily an inflammatory disease. Now, to some degree, there are risk factors that can be modified, such as obesity. That is, patients who are more overweight are more likely to be symptomatic from osteoarthritis. Patients who sustain trauma and have an injured joint are more likely to get osteoarthritis. Perhaps they have a traumatic cartilage injury, or they have a traumatic fracture that's intra-articular and also disrupts the cartilage, thereby is a cartilage injury as well. So these are some of the things, whereas age and genetics, for instance, are not exactly modifiable, but they are also risk factors. Okay, so in general, the pathoanatomy, as I said, it's like a degenerative cascade. You have progressive loss of cartilage, fragmentation and collapse. You have this potentially a little bit of inflamed synovium, certainly nothing like you get with inflammatory arthritis. And it's not purely a wear and tear. There is some, there's some like inflammatory cytokines that are expressed. You get some changes in the osteoarthritic cartilage, such as increased water content, and alteration in proteoglycans. And then on clinical presentation, what you're going to see is, patient with, tenderness at the joints. If they have knee arthritis, they may have tenderness at the joint line medially and laterally. They may have stiffness on exam. Again, they may exhibit deformity or instability. If you go to diagnostic testing, radiographs are really helpful. So a lot of times patients and, you know, some physicians feel like, you know, you need to get an MRI to diagnose osteoarthritis, which is really not the case. You can get a very good subjective feel for the severity of the disease, and certainly you can see very obvious objective findings on plain radiographs. Now, typically for weight-bearing joints, we ask for weight-bearing radiographs. So in the knees and hips and, you know, the ankle, we like to get weight-bearing radiographs because one of the things we look for is loss of joint space, which potentially under compressive weight-bearing load may be increased than if there's no weight-bearing. Plus, if there's any joint malalignment or instability, you're going to see that more likely presented in a weight-bearing situation. Now, some of the findings you're going to look for specifically on X-ray are going to be joint space narrowing, as I mentioned, osteophytes, which are like those bone spurs, and what's called an eburnation of bone. You sort of get this subchondral like thickening and subchondral sclerosis, and then you can also get subchondral cysts, which are these like little low-density cysts that you'll see on X-ray. So those are the findings you want to look for: loss of joint space, subchondral sclerosis, subchondral cysts, and osteophyte formation, which is little bone spurs. So again, plain radiographs, especially weight-bearing radiographs, can be really helpful for assisting in the diagnosis of osteoarthritis. So what about treatment? Well, treatment certainly starts with conservative management for most cases. If a patient clearly is eliciting worsening symptoms because of their activity, you try activity modification to the degree that is reasonable. I mean, if a patient is doing something that they truly don't need to be doing or can easily modify their activities such that they can still do what they like to do what they need to do, but get it done in a way that's less damaging to their joint, then you try to determine for whatever activity it is a good way to modify their activities to diminish the stress. Other things are weight loss, of course, easier said than done, but again, if a patient is obese, they're not making it easy on their joints, and if there's a way you can help them to lose weight in such a way that doesn't injure their knees, let's just say, I keep using knees as an example, but it's one of the more common ones, that's something you'd want to do, so that, for instance, let's just say you want to help them lose weight but not put stress on the knees. Maybe you have them do an exercise bike program instead of running, which is an impact type activity. Occasionally, if there's deformity that can be corrected, bracing may be helpful. Nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory medications can be helpful. Sometimes physical therapy can be helpful as well. And a little bit more invasive intervention would be injections, for instance. And you see this done commonly in the knee, in the spine. I kind of really haven't talked about spine very often, very much in this podcast, but spine osteoarthritis is an extremely common condition. And when you get those, the osteophyte formation, that can lead to nerve root impingement, and you can have facet joint pain as well as impingement of the neural elements. Now, sometimes the inflammation caused by this can be treated with steroid injections, for instance. So that's injections. And then when these treatments fail, then a joint replacement, for instance, can be an option. Joint fusion is another option. So I'm not going to go into the details of which is beneficial when, but I think what you'll see is that we generally don't do a lot of fusions in knees and hips, but we do a lot of fusions in the spine and ankle. And then other joints you haven't really heard me mention, right? The shoulder, the elbow, the hand and wrist. They're just areas that surgery for arthritis is simply just done less often. Certainly in the non-weight-bearing joints, we don't see symptomatic arthritis quite as much. You do see it in the hands, but certainly the shoulder and elbow is a little bit less common and ends up having surgery less often. One last thing about joint replacements. You know, when we do joint replacements, it's really not intended to be for long-term use, if at all possible. What I mean by that is we don't consider young, active patients as the ideal candidates because joint replacements will wear out. And when they wear out, they need to get revised. And when they need to get revised, things start to get more complicated and results start to have some degree of compromise. So in general, the 60-ish-year-old patient, not too obese, I mean, this is the kind of patient that's sort of your ideal patient for joint replacement, you know, someone who's like 90, maybe he's not the best medical candidate for risk factors, may not be such a great candidate, and somebody who's in their 20s may not be a good candidate for other reasons that I already mentioned, that it can wear out. So these are things I may talk about in some separate podcasts, maybe on hip and knee replacements. And I think I'm kind of over my time. So thanks. I hope this was a helpful introduction to osteoarthritis.